Bless you all this morning, and Lord bless you, Sister Lisa, Lord Louise. Sorry, we'll just bow our heads and welcome the Lord this morning. Precious Jesus, Lord, we just come before you this morning humbly, Lord. How can we not be, Lord, when we think of your faithfulness to us, Lord, this morning, Lord, and your kindness, Lord, your mercy, Lord. Lord, even in providing this day, Lord, that is so beautiful, Lord, that we can just come into your house, Lord, and just worship you, Lord, and lift up your name this morning, Lord, and bring our cares, Lord, and our burdens before you, Lord, knowing that, Lord, you are willing to lift them from us, Lord, and Lord, set us in high places, Lord, and Lord, just raise us up this morning, Lord, and Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory, Lord, and those that might be listening, Lord, this morning, Lord, just if they needed uplift this morning, Lord, just pray that you'd reach down your hand of mercy, Lord, and lift them up this morning, Lord, and we commit all things, Lord, every thought and every distraction into your hands, Lord, that you might just be the center of our thought and our heart this morning, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Shall we sing number 245?
And
Sing number 232. Oh, what a wonderful day.
Darkest deep
Can you just skip back to the first verse, please? I was just reading this here when we were singing it. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day we'll never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Saviour, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy I'm telling, he made all the darkness depart. Who knows him like that? And the truth of it. I just thank him for it. Let's sing number 229, My God is Real. We'll walk in the light. Not used to the verses? Was that? Okay, I'm not the only one then. Well, what a beautiful song. That's about the truth of those verses. Amen. Let's sing number 404, All I Want to Do Is Love Him, and then I'll ask if Brother Taz would like to bring his item.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Tez.
First song, the second time, you can all come in and repeat a line after me. Oops. That's okay.
Gotcha. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing, for you're the one who reigns within my heart. And I will serve no foreign god, nor any other treasure, for you are my heart's desire, the spirit without measure. Unto your name I will bring my sacrifice. Repeat after me. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing, for you're the one who reigns within my heart. And I will serve no foreign god, and I will serve no foreign god, nor any other treasure, nor any other treasure, for you are my heart's delight, for you are my heart's delight. Spirit without measure, spirit without measure. Unto your name, unto your name I will bring my sacrifice. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord my God. My soul longs and faints for thy courts, and I would rather be a doorkeeper in thy house than to live my life somewhere else. You are my song, you are my King, you are my lover from the start, and the highway to your city runs through my heart. Here we go again. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing, for you're the I will serve no foreign God. And I will serve no foreign God, nor any other treasure, nor any other treasure. For you are my heart's delight. For you are my heart's delight. The Spirit without measure. The Spirit without measure. Unto your name. Unto your name. I will bring. I will bring my sacrifice.
Thank you for that beautiful song, Brother Taz. Sister Pauline has a song as well. Thank you, Sister Pauline.
I'll ask the reason.
Thank you, Sister Pauline. We just appreciate the items and the ones that bring them. And pray the Lord bless you for it. And I'm sure He appreciates it as well. It's not unto us, it's unto Him. We'll just have prayer requests. I'll just ask if Brother Lee would like to pray for these. We've just got one for Jonathan Carr. Prayer of for healing of wounds, healing of my soul, and victory in spiritual oppression and financial blessing. And we'll just remember the Wilkinson family in Adelaide and Brother Brian Freeborn. And also just continue to remember Brother Ken Boyer with the brain tumour. If there was any others in the congregation this morning.
Any others? Signify by raised hand. You've got before the Lord. You know, I was just thinking this morning and telling my wife about it, you know, that when people, you know, under persecution and they don't want to come to church. And I thought about that in the Bible. It says, many are called and few are chosen. And the many that are fighting it under persecution, they don't want to hear someone telling them about the Lord and the love of God. They fight it, but they're not fighting the person that's trying to share it. It's they're fighting the Lord, because if they didn't have that persecution in their heart, they wouldn't be asked. But the Lord said, many are called, but few are chosen. So we are a very privileged people to be able to be called of God and know it. And let us pray for the thousands upon thousands of people that are called and don't know it's God doing it. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we do come to you knowing that you are our Almighty God, you are our Creator, and you provided your life as a redemption for us, Lord, because we had no other way to enter into the eternity that you promised unless you did that sacrifice. We are very, very, very privileged and grateful, Lord. We offer our love. We're very grateful for what you did. We do ask forgiveness of all our sin and iniquity, past, present, and future. Lord, because we have no other outlet, we have no other way of getting into eternity except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. I believe you know it. And we know it. If it's deep down in the heart, we know it, because your Holy Spirit livens it. Help those, Lord, that want it and don't know where to go. I pray for the people that go to a lot of other churches, not putting them down, but they don't hear the whole truth. They hear about the good things in the Bible and about Samson and Abraham and Solomon, and so it goes on. But they're not necessarily hearing about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them personally. I pray for those people, Lord. We all pray for them. I think about the folks that join in on the service, Lord, on their time of listening, on the CDs and on the internet. Uplift them, Lord. They're not forgotten. If they are considering you at this very moment, God is considering them. Lord, all these people that were mentioned by Brother Tim, I haven't recorded, I didn't know. But you know about the requests. You know about the raised hands, the people that have laid what's in their heart before you. You are real, Lord Jesus. You made us. You created us. You created the world that we live in. We're very grateful for all of these things. And so we just receive the love of God and thank you, Lord, for being with us in the meetings today, Lord. Cause us to be a part of it and to receive it. Bless the people that are listening in particularly, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
just on the notices, we'll, there's luncheon after, and afternoon service we'll have communion and foot washing, and also just 7 o'clock Tuesday prayer meeting. We'll just sing one more, number 30, I'm pressing on the upward way, and then I'll ask if Brother Howard would come this morning.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying and I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on air.
Praise the Lord. He's a good God. Wonderful Savior. He's watching over you every day, every moment of the day and night. I just thank Him for that. And I just pray He'll continue to watch over us this morning as we come around His precious word. And we have a new dimension here this morning. a new level of the service is going out on video, and it's going out every Sunday morning. So a lot of people have been asking about it, and we've tossed up and down about knowing that we could do it. But I just wanted someone to have a, want to do it so it's unmanned, don't have to have someone to do it. So it's just a fixed lens, but it's like Brother Albert's got his church, sister. And so it's going out. But unfortunately, somehow, through Tom's workings, we've cut out the audio, but that'll be fixed. So I can't even apologise to people because they can't hear me. But I just had a text come in saying, we can't hear the Sunday service, all cries, tears coming down. So you'd be amazed how many people listen. But they can listen later on, tomorrow or next day. They can hear the service anyway. But so that's what we're doing, Lord willing. There's a little wee camera up there. So we just pray that it'll be a blessing to many people who would give anything to see Brother Lee after all these years. And now Brother Tim. If you have seen me from time to time. But we just pray that the Lord will be here to bless our time together. And I pray that he will, by his Holy Spirit, bring to us the importance of his word. His word is very, very important. My words will pass away. Your words will pass away. They don't mean anything, but his word will be established forever, never to pass away. Brother Bill and his family are down at Tamarau Church with Brother Lynn preaching, so that's why they're not here. And we just pray God will bless all the others that are not here this morning. I'm not sure where everyone is, but may God bless them. So I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Jude. Book of Jude. I looked up a little today about Jude. He was a good brother, the brother of James. He was, his another name was Judas. Judas and Jude are used, it's a very common name in those days. Judas Iscariot had the same name, but he didn't have the same spirit. But anyway, and I heard or also read that Judea was named after him. The whole of Palestine at that time came through him. But anyway, those things are just by the way. Shall we begin from Jude chapter 1, verse 2, which says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So may God just bless that to us this morning. And I've just entitled this thought this morning, earnestly contending for the faith. Earnestly contending for the faith. So may God just bless it as we pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the access we have into your presence this morning. Lord, we pray that your presence and anointing would just come, Lord, and make your word live to us because it's life to our souls. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one to receive by the Spirit, not only anoint the speaker, but anoint the hearers also. Because the Bible says the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by them that heard it. So I pray, Lord, that there'll be faith in the hearers, whether here or afar. And Lord, may you speak to everyone, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. When I started to read more about this and find out about this admonition, because because that's what it is. Through the Holy Spirit, through Jude, I started to realize that this letter was not to the world, it was to the saints. It's to Christians, those claiming to walk with God and believe in Him. And he says here, beloved, that's the believers. He's addressing us. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, and some of the commentators were saying, and I agree with them wholeheartedly, that this diligence has a feeling of concern and urgency. Brother and sister, we don't take the word of God lightly. And I must be honest with you, every time I've read the scripture for many years, it always speaks volumes to me about me. Because Jude is pouring out his heart to us and saying what he wants to say. I've given all diligence. This is not just a little sermon that he's bringing. This is giving all diligence to the hearers and concern and urgency to the church. And it needs to be taken notice of. The Amplified actually puts like this of that same verse we read. Beloved, my whole concern was to write unto you in Gisborne. Now that makes it more real. Write to you in regard to our common salvation. He's not talking about some great teaching or doctrine, which are okay. But he's talking about the common gospel, the salvation. He says, but I found it necessary, and I love this wording, I love it, and was impelled. Oh, it's a good word, that, impelled. That means driven or pressed to write unto you. He's saying that I've been compelled to do this to the church. Now, let me say this, that not every sermon in the days of the early church were written. Most weren't, actually. But these were recorded because God wanted them recorded. So this is for you and me. This is for our blessing and for our admonition. That Jude is saying here, I'm compelled and driven and pressed to write to you and urgently appeal and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once handed down to the saints. So he's not concerned over, as I said, some great teaching. No, it was to do with the common salvation, the gospel. And Jude is very concerned. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because people are moving away from it today. They're moving away from the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even amongst some of the message believers that follow Brother Branham's message are actually leaving the gospel. Sorry to say that, but that's the truth. It's nothing to do with Brother Branham. It wasn't him. But followers have diverted away from the gospel. The only way you can be saved is how? By the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you at Calvary. That is the only way you're going to get to heaven and to be filled with His Holy Spirit. That's the only possible way we can be in the rapture. So Jude is very concerned that there's been a deviation. And it's the same today. It's worse today, I believe, that spirit is moving through the church. And it was... It's to do with our everyday walk with God. It's everything's become limp and powerless. Not concerned anymore. Oh, we go to church. We believe this. We believe that. But tell you what, have you been born again of the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Have you received the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you looking to the church or to Christ? Are you looking to a preacher or to Christ? It's an urgent message to believers. So this is for you and I. If you claim to be a believer, wherever you are, this message is for you. It's for me. So as I studied this concern of Jude, I realized it was the Holy Spirit speaking through him and bringing this thought to the church, not just a thought, a message. The truth is addressed throughout the whole of the New Testament. You know, it's wonderful when God brings the truth, it's not just a one little spot of the Bible. It's all through there. He's addressing this issue. And you know, brothers and sisters, for me, I just want to be absolutely sure that I've received this gospel fully in my own life. I don't want to just be a preacher of it. I want to be a possessor of it. Amen. We've got to possess this. We've got to have Christ living in us 24/7. And so we're talking about this. We need to be on our guard. We need to be on our spiritual guard because it just creeps in, especially in this last day. You know, brothers and sisters, it's just, I don't know about you, but I see a total deterioration throughout all the churches. And I'm not pinning down any church, not even our own. I'm just saying in general, there's a total deterioration away from the gospel. It's all about what we believe. It's all about our program. It's all about our singers, our music, and I love it. But that's not the gospel. God can use that, yes. But the emphasis is in the wrong place. Who believes this? Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. And so, it's going to happen just before the coming of the Lord. Now, I want to say this, and I don't want to be a sadist, but it's nothing to do with me. It's God's word, not my word. Just before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a total deterioration. And the Bible says that many shall fall away. In other words, they were walking with the Lord, now they're not walking with him. They've become real slack and casual. Oh, I gave my heart to the Lord 30 years ago. That's lovely. What about now? How are you standing with God today? That's what I've got to ask myself. Where do I stand today? So this message is definitely to the church. It's not addressing the unbeliever. It's addressing the believer. And God, as I said before, allowed it to be written. For those who will be living in these last days. You say, oh, no, Brother Howard, we're having a revival. Listen, that's a lovely thought, have a revival. And I do believe in the power of God falling on the true believer just before he comes. I do believe that. But Jesus said about our day, when I return, will I find any faith left? Now, he said that. Do you believe Jesus is right? He saw this age and saw the condition of people. It's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. So I just pray that God will help us to see this and to do something about it. Because there's something you need to do about it. You say, oh no, it's all the Lord. Hold the moment, it's not all the Lord. It's the Lord, all right, yes, but he wants you to do something because he's asked you to do something. We'll get to that. And Satan's tactic of the last day believer is this. This is his tactics. This is how he does it. The devil's strategy is to attack you without you realizing it is the devil. That's how he does it. He just gets you worn down and he gets you slack and he gets you drifting and it's all his work. And you don't even realize it. You've just been rocked to sleep like a snake. When a snake comes up to a bird, who knows what a snake does to a bird? He comes up and he turns up like this. He waves back on the floor. Doesn't attack the bird. the bird says, oh, oh. And the snake going backwards and forward, and eventually the bird goes to sleep. And then, bang, it's all over. Now, this is what Satan does. He puts you to sleep first. That's what I want us to come to our attention this morning. He tries to put us to sleep first. Slowly works on you. He doesn't come rushing in saying, don't believe this, don't believe this. You don't have to do that. That's okay to do this. That's okay. No, he slowly does it. He breaks down your guard. We see that with immorality. He breaks down the modesty of people. He keeps bringing up images and things that they're getting used to. They say, oh, well, that's how it is. It's not right. It's wrong. Women should dress properly, not show their bodies. That's the Bible. To dress modestly. Now, I'm probably preaching to the wrong people here, but I'm just saying it anyway. People claim to be Christians and dressing the way they do. Men the same. Shouldn't be just a slackness. Things that you're seeing now coming on the news, and I don't even want to look at the news anymore, it's so horrific. I realize we're here. The judgment of God is pending for this world. And we need to be all filled with the Spirit of God. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and tidy up our lives and clean up our living. And so we see he works on you slowly. How does he do this? He starts filling up your time. He gets you so full of doing everything until you've got no room for anything else, and the Lord is just somehow slotted in somewhere. And you get tired and you get worn out because you're doing so much. You got so little time for the things of God. Well, we're being exhorted to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. That's the Bible. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Make good use of the opportunity God's given you. He didn't bring you to earth for you to have a great time. Your great time's coming later. We're here as workers. We are here as soldiers to get souls into the kingdom and to preach the pure gospel. And don't compromise with it. Just say it the way it is. Who believes this? Say amen. We're preaching to believers. That's right, Brother Paul. Good to see your arm going up. That's good. You know, because we all have a responsibility. We're all preachers. Oh, so I'm not a preacher. Listen. The Bible says we're all epistles seen and read of all men. People are reading you, Diane. Lee, they're reading you. Brother Taz, they're reading you daily. They're watching your life. It's not your words, it's the life you're living and your attitude. They're watching it. So it's very important. Brother Bradham made a statement. The devil is wearing down the saints, wearing you down. And I started, oh, that's a really good statement. Then I found out it was in the Bible. You probably got it from the scripture, which I'm going to read to you. The Old Testament speaking in the last days in Daniel chapter 7. We read this about the enemy. He shall speak great words against the Most High. You know, a brother was telling me just recently that he heard a preacher say, you know, a big preacher, you know, telling all the people that everyone's going to heaven. Have you ever heard anything like that? When the Bible's full about those going to hell? And Jesus himself says, there's a broad way and a narrow way. And if you don't go down the narrow way, you're going down the broad way, which leads to destruction. How can these people say these things? It's contrary to the word of God. It's a lying spirit. And it's set to put people to sleep. Oh, we're all going to heaven now. All go to church, we all go to heaven. There's so much against that in the Bible. But that's the sort of thing that Jude is addressing. We've got to earnestly, steadfastly get back, back to the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's what we want to do this morning by the grace of God. So he wore down the saints. Great words of the Most High shall wear down the saints of the Most High. That's what the Bible says. That's what the enemy's doing now, wearing you down. Whew, can I make this? You'll make it by the grace of God. But I tell you what, you need to get close to God. You need to be spending more time with him instead of all the rubbish of the world and television and all this other stuff. It's anti-God. It really is. Making us tired. And it goes on to say, and think it strange, and to think strange times. And Lord, sorry, I'm reading wrong. It says, I'll read it again. And he shall speak great words of against the Most High, this is what the enemy does in the last days in Daniel, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. That's what's happening now. They're saying it's all right for a man and a woman to live together without being married. That is a change of God's word, and it's a lying devil. But people are getting used to it, as we said about even, you know, our Prime Minister. And I'm not against people, but I'm just telling you what's happening. It's a sin! And the judgment of God is coming upon this world because people are going contrary to the word of God. A man and woman should be married in the presence of God before the congregation of the Lord. That's what Jude's talking about. We can earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's very, very, very bad. Changing the laws. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. It's all right if we have that. That's constantly changing things. We used to pray to the Lord in our schools and everything. They're kicking God out of our schools. They're kicking God out of the church. They've kicked him out. He's been out a long time ago. It's turned into a show now. Music. Oh, the music. Oh, how wonderful it is. And the Lord's outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's outside his church and he can't get back in. These are the things we're speaking of that Jude was speaking of. You know what the Bible says in Galatians 6:9? Be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired, brother and sister. You preach it, you live it. God will bless you. Don't get tired, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. You know what faint not means, Brother Pessa? It actually interprets this. To be relaxed. It's all right. I don't have to be so strict. I tell you, brother and sister, who loves the word of God? Amen. So pure. We stay with the word of God, you'll see your families blessed, your children blessed. But if we let the world come into the church, and by the grace of God, we don't want the world in here. We want God to be here and filling us with his spirit and worshipping him in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Who wants to worship him?
Amen.
You do. We all do, don't we? We love him. So that faint not literally translate to being relaxed. I thought that was good. And Satan knows his days are numbered. His time is running out. We in this day have to be extra vigilant. He walks about like a roaring lion. There's no time to be cruising along, waiting for something to happen. No, God's waiting for you, actually, to do something. We'll get to that. There's coming a great falling away, as you said, from God and from his word. And Jude said we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You go to church and I hardly hear the gospel anymore. You know, bro, I heard Brother Branham saying something recently. He said, we have these street meetings, they go out, then they get there. It's all about singing. And they just sing, 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 all the music, sing, sing. And then someone gets up a prayer and prays for the president. And that's the end of it. We need to pray for souls. We need to pray for the mercy of God to fill our hearts and bring the fire of God back into the church. Who believes that? We are believers. We are not make-believers. Now, these people once walked with the Lord because it says they're falling away. Isn't that awful? They actually walked with God at one time. Now they're falling away from where they were. Something has crept in and deceived them. And they are falling away. Paul said there'll be a falling away first in the last days. And here we are, right here now. We're right here now. The church is getting further and further away from God. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind, shaken in your mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the son of perdition is religious. Some people think, oh, it's going to be the police or some communist state or something. No, no, it's religious. Very religious. The son of perdition, the man of sin to be revealed. What he does, he waters down the Bible. He says, oh, that doesn't mean that today. That was for the apostles only. That's how he does it. He comes and he waters down the word of God and says, oh, that was for another day. All of this is for now. Every word of it.
Amen.
And we've got to believe it and receive it because God allowed it to be written for us. Once again, these people were following the Lord. Even as in Jesus' day. You know, brother, sister, Jesus picked 70 hand-picked disciples. He said, I want you to follow me. I want you to come and follow me. Maybe the Lord said to you, I want you to come and follow me. But every one of them left him. Just because you get called, you've got to hold on to the Lord. You've got to seek the Lord. Don't say, oh, I got saved a few years ago. No, brother and sister, you need to press into God. I really believe that. We cannot be half soaked, as we say. So we see it's very important. We're kept by the power of God. Who believes that? Oh, boy. That scripture comes to me every day, Tim. We are kept by the power of God. You're not kept because you're fervent, and we need fervency. We'll get to that. But we're kept by His power, the Holy Spirit calling you to work closer to Him. So we need to be wide awake. We need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. You know, when a person's not sober, they've got a problem. Somebody was telling us the other day, might have been Bill and Jan, I'm not sure. They were driving down the road at night, and there was a man walking on the road. In the middle of the highway. Wobbling all over the place. He wasn't sober. And he knew not the danger. And brother and sister, we get to the stage where we are not sober in the Lord. We're not aware of the dangers we're in. And Jude is addressing this to all the beloved. We need to be really sober. And Peter address the same problem. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Why do you need to be sober and vigilant, awake and careful? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, brother, sister, Satan is not in a hurry with you. He's walking about and he's looking for somebody he can lure and deceive. So he's walking about. He's not running. He's got time to wait on you. He's taking his time to deceive. To deceive the church. He's doing everything he can to get people used to the surroundings. They become accustomed to the world. I heard a song the other day. We are not going to become accustomed to the world. We've got to wake up. We've got to be sober-minded. And he says here, because your adversary, the devil's roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, resist. You can resist the devil. Don't let him walk all over you. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Brother and sister, we're not on a picnic. We're in a warfare. And we've got to resist Satan. We've got to resist his tactics. And we have his word, the sword of God. The sword of the Spirit. What the scriptures say, that's what we believe. And that's what we do. People don't want it, it's up to them. But I want to do what God's said to do. Hallelujah. Who loves them? Say amen. Well, I just want to make sure we're amongst believers. So, yeah, because we're preaching to believers. Beloved, Jude said. And God is warning all believers of the onslaught of the last days. We are on an onslaught. It's not visible guns and shells and tanks and soldiers. It's more subtle than that. The devil comes right to church with you. He sits right next to you. And what he does, he tries to reason with you. Oh, don't listen to that silly preacher. That's not like that. And then he goes outside with you. He goes to the street. He's always trying to deceive and to weaken the word of God and try to make it of none effect. In 1 Timothy, these brothers are speaking about it everywhere. The brothers of the Bible are all saying the same thing, not just Jude, it's everywhere. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, who knows what the latter times is? Brother Brian, you know what it is? Right now. Right now. This is the last days. That in the latter days, the last time, some shall depart from the faith. As I said to you, they were in the faith. They used to go to church. They used to believe all these things. Now they're departing from, they're deviating away from the word of God, from the gospel. And giving heed, listening to, that means listening to seducing spirits. They're demons. Well, the Bible says, and doctrines of devils. Doctrines that are contrary to the gospel. All you have to do is believe this revelation, they say, and you're in. Listen here. The Bible is clear what we must do. We've got to repent of our sins. We've got to truly repent. We've got to separate. We've got to be baptized in his name. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he said to do. Depart means they'll pull away from the word of God. They were there and they'll pull away. I think that's really sad. Where is everybody today? Okay, we've been going for a few years. But I remember the church used to be full. Where are they? Not just our church, a lot of churches. Just emptying out like you wouldn't believe. What is it? Latter times. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So they were there, now they've departed. And doing so, pull away from the body of Christ. And we are told of this in our first reading, as Jude says in Jude 1:19. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, fleshly, having not the Spirit. They go to church, they put a nice tie on or dress or whatever, carry their Bible right. I want to read you something John Wesley said. I thought it was very good. These are they who separate themselves. Because I don't need to go to church. I'll go to church when I've got time, when there's nobody coming around, or this or that. I'll go if it suits us, if everything works out right, we'll go. That's separating yourselves. We should be at every service wherever it's possible. If you're unwell and you're in bed, you can't come to church, although I suggest you come to church, we'll pray for you that you'll be healed. Who believes this? That's what they did in the Bible days. They prayed for the sick and they shall recover. But sometimes you don't feel you can make it. Maybe you're totally exhausted. There's always situations. But brother and sister, when we are in the vicinity, we should try and be in service. He says, they separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit, having natural senses. This is John Wesley. Having natural senses and understanding only, not the Spirit of God. Otherwise, they would not separate. Well, that is a sin, and a very shockingly evil one, John Wesley says. To separate from the church is out of all question. But then it should be observed that by the church is meant the body of the living Christians who are an habitation of God through the Spirit. It's not just because we come under a church building. You've got to be a real child of God. That by separating is understood renouncing all religious communications with them, no longer joining with them in solemn prayer or other public offices of religion. It's interesting how they talk back then. But it means the same thing. That we have no more authority from Scripture to call even this schism than to call it murder. John Wesley claims that to be away from the church, to separate yourself from the body of Christ, is murder. That's how real it was to him. And that's exactly what we read in Jude, separating themselves, he says. So what have we been instructed to do? I'll tell you what we've been instructed to do. Enter into the shelter, and it's not this building. You can't enter in here to get shelter. It's a bigger shelter than that. It's a rock. And that rock is Christ. He is the haven of rest. It's more than just entering in, as it says in verse 3 in Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. You know, every one of us here, we should be earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The original gospel that the apostles preached. It's just everywhere in the Bible. I just love the gospel. Who loves the gospel? You know, sometimes you go and listen to some messages and say, where's the gospel in this? Where is the heart searching in this? Where is God dealing with me in this? It's about everything else but Christ. He's left outside. He's knocking to get back into his church. You know what? He's knocking to get back into your heart. If we're throwing him out. or neglected him. If the Bible talks about neglect, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, it's terrible. I've got a sermon on that one. To earnestly contend, translate. This is what earnestly contends. I love to look into these word meanings because they bring a richness to them. To earnestly contend translates to struggle. To move violently. This is not laying back out in the shade somewhere, saying, oh, what a beautiful day. Now, I'm not against that, but what I'm saying, the struggle is getting down on your knees, getting up early in the morning and seeking the face of God. If you're not doing it, brother and sister, we're just making it more difficult for ourselves. People say, I'm going further with God. I say, how much do you pray? I'm not to how long you pray, how much do you pray? In other words, to make sure we don't miss out on this great opportunity. We are talking about our soul here. Your body's going to die one day soon, some of us. We're going to die and it's going to rot if Jesus doesn't come in that time. But what about your soul? As the brother said, if you die tonight, are you going to heaven? Do you have that assurance that you're going to be there? And we're only going to be there because Jesus paid it all. And I've received him as my personal Savior. And he took my judgment at Calvary. I love him with all my heart because he took all that was on me, he took upon himself. He paid a price for it. There's nothing else takes that place. It's Christ alone. Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. It's Christ alone. But we see people are being led away by this Laodicean spirit. This Laodicean spirit is terrible. This is the last age in the Bible. It speaks of Revelation 3. The Laodicean spirit is the last church age. And it's not good reading. What God said about them were lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold. Oh, I suppose it's okay. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it is. Casual. Get used to seeing immoral living around you. The Bible says we should be sighing and crying for the abomination of Gisborne. Oh, we're just used to it. Lulled to sleep like the snake. It's okay. Everyone does it now. It's wrong. The judgment of God is coming. Amen. And I want to be right with him. We are currently in a spiritual warfare. Did you know that you're in a warfare and there's no shelters to go into except Christ Jesus our Lord? The devil tries to make it insignificant. Oh, it's insignificant. In Matthew 11 verse 12, it says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, brother and sister. Listen to it. This is a war zone around the kingdom. Isn't this amazing? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent. Who's the violent? You. Read what it says. The violent take it by force. I want to be a part of this rapture. I want to be a part of the coming of the Lord. I want to be a part of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to fight for it. I'm going to earnestly contend for this faith. And nobody's going to take it from me. I believe it. John Wesley, if you don't mind me quoting him again, says this. And from the days of John, that is, from the time that John had fulfilled his ministry, men rush into my kingdom with violence. You get in there because you're really pushing to get in there, like the Syrophoenician woman. She wanted to touch his water garment. She had to push through the crowd. She got on her hands and knees. She's pushing through the crowd and she's reaching to get Jesus. She touched his garment. She got a healing. She got what she came for. Brother and sister, you've got to push to Christ because there's a lot of discouragements on the way. And we're living amongst lots of discouragement. And he says, men rushed into my kingdom with violence like those that take a city by storm. We are warfare. We are soldiers. We've got a uniform. We've got armor. We've got a sword. We've got a shield. We've got a helmet of salvation. We've got all these things. Why did God give us this armor? Because we're in a battle zone. We're not in a picnic, spiritually speaking. And Jesus said in Luke 13:24, strive, push hard to enter in at the straight gate. There's only two gates, the straight one and the broad one. It's one or the other, you go down. The broad one leads to destruction, and most people will go down that. The Bible says many go in thereat. But the straight gate is a narrow way, and few be that find it. So, brother and sister, we've got to really get serious. I've got to get serious. My wife has to be serious. My children, every one of us, we've got to push in through that straight gate into Jesus Christ. Here's the gate. Here's the door to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, and concerning that verse in the Amplified, strive to enter by the narrow door. It says, force yourselves through it. It's very clear. Very, very clear. Earnestly contending. Strive to push through it. For many, I tell you, will try to enter, will not be able. There's so many examples in the Bible that people had to really get to Jesus. They had to really push to get him. Lady came crying, Lord, be merciful unto me. Have mercy upon me. And she cried out, and he ignored her. She cried out again. And the disciples said, Lord, tell this lady to go away. She's troubling us. She wasn't troubling the disciples. That's nonsense. She was wanting Christ. Isn't it amazing how ministers get in the way? They said, she's troubling us. Well, she wasn't troubling them. She was coming for Jesus. But she really pushed to get in there. And Jesus turned her aside. You know what Jesus called her? Jesus called that woman a dog. Do you think that put her off? Not if she's striving to get in. She pushed in anyway. She's coming to Christ. She says, true Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. That was it. That was too much for Jesus. He said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you according to thy faith. And she got what she came for. Brothers and sisters, if you want something from God, you're going to have to push in for it. You're going to have to get out of bed a bit earlier. You're going to have to get on your knees and seek the face of God, for time's running out. You don't have a lot of time. You've got to really wait on God. You've got to really wait on his word. Spend more time in prayer and meditation. Or you're caught up with everything else. It's wearing you down. I'll tell you about these words. I looked up strive. When you strive to enter in. To the same intensity, it says, as agonize. If agonize, you're agonizing, you're striving. I've got to come to Christ. I've got to get into this door. Brother and sister, the door's open at the moment, but it's going to close soon. It'll close without warning. He'll come in an hour when you think not. And those that are ready will go in. Those that are not ready will be shut out. In the days of Noah, Jesus said, not me. The days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of Noah as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What happened in the days of Noah? Those that went through the door to go into the ark, they strove to get in. Maybe they might have been frightened of the lion or something. They want to get in there. So they went into that door, and I've been in the ark, the one they had in Louisville. It's beautiful. the real size. When they got into that ark, the Bible says, and God closed the door. God closed it. No man's going to close this door. No prophet's going to close this door. God will close the door. And though when the door was shut, the people inside were sealed in, and the people on the outside were sealed out. Jesus said, as it was then, so shall it be now. You've got to strive to enter this gate. You've got to press to enter into this glorious place, to agonize, to be there. Brother Branham said, let us strive hard. Don't be deceived in this day, but strive to enter in the gate. And only those that are redeemed and in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter in that gate. So strive, friends. Don't be deceived in this last day. Let us strive, he says, to enter that. That's my whole purpose, is to enter into that city someday. And just look back, coming along with me, see every one of you marching in. He says, like the song we sing, when the saints go marching in. We're in then. We won't be worrying about this life anymore. It'll be all over. And I believe it. Hey, do you believe this? Is it for you? Don't say, oh, that's a good, nice sermon. No, no. Do you believe it's for you? We're going to enter the city soon. It may come by the morning. It could be that quick. So who of us here want to be in that number? I got two hands up. I want a double portion. I want to be in that number, Lord. You can be, but it's going to take a fight of faith. You're going to fight with your faith. Lord, I believe what you said. Jesus, our chief captain, has given you power to enter in. He's given you power to enter into the kingdom. Glory! Get into Christ by faith with all our heart and soul. Oh, brother and sister, this is a very difficult time for us all. Have you noticed the oppression of the age? There's an oppression on this age of unbelief, big time. You go to churches and you get so disappointed. We know this is a hard time and an evil day. It's time for us as individuals to press into God, building up yourself in faith towards God, as it says in Jude 1:20. But ye, beloved, that's believers, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to get into the Holy Spirit. We've got to pray. You can't even pray unless you're in this presence properly. Did you know that? We need to get in that anointing. Who believes that? Say amen. We've got to get that sweet anointing. Not a man-made, make-out, carnal impression. No, we need the anointing, sweet anointing. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Not an intellectual prayer. Oh, God forbid us. It's best you don't pray until you feel it real. Until it's coming from your heart. Wait on the Lord until you enter into the Spirit. That's the only real way to pray. We also need each other more than ever. We need the body of Christ. Do you know that? Brothers and sisters, what if it's here this morning, just me here? It would be horrible. No believers. But God's got his church around the world. That's right. And I believe some are listening to us, even now. When the pressures mounted against the early church, they're all bound together in one mind and one accord. You know one of the greatest manifestations going to be in the church in the end days? The love of God. Be wonderful. A greater love for each other and for him. The Bible says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let us not be like those that Jesus spoke about in our age. In Matthew 24:12. This is what Jesus said about our age. This is an updated message. Better than CNN. Oh, God forbid. Sorry I mentioned that name. This is an update. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In plain English, because there's so many people doing things they know are wrong, that's iniquity. You know it's wrong, but you still do it. That's called iniquity. Because there's so much of that, people get colder and colder towards the things of God. And I was reading this to my wife just a while ago. Brother Branham made this statement. So many are getting so hard. I want you all listen. Because they haven't realized the effect of this last day spirit. It affects you. You've got to get that stuff out of here. They're getting so hard because they haven't realized the effect of the last day spirit. It's time to draw nigh to God and let him fill our lives with his love, or feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. Brother, sister, our only hope of survival is not this church. It's not the preachers. But Jesus Christ alone. Amen. He is the only one that can help us here. These things are so real to me. And when I get down from this pulpit and I go home, I'm going to have to pray the same thing that I'm telling you. Where do you stand with God right now? If he should come this afternoon, are you ready to go with him? Earnestly contend for that blessed experience. Jesus said, many will seek to enter in. But it's for those who press in, strive to enter in, agonize to enter in. That doesn't mean you're pushing. It's not that sort of agony. It's saying, Lord, I really want this at all costs. I don't care about me. I want to be right with you. I know, Lord, I've been a drifter. I want to change. I want you to help me. Brother Branham says, talking about the foolish virgins, I'll read this to you because it's quite good. How many of you perhaps have read of the virgins? We know that in Matthew 25, I believe it is. Some were wise and some were foolish. He says virgin means purity. The church will be clean living people. You won't have the filth of the world hanging on you. You'll be living clean according to the word of God. He says, they were all good people, every one of them virgins, sanctified vessels of God. But those who had oil in their lamps went in. You've got to have oil in your lamp. Others were left out. They were all virgins, every people that you couldn't put a finger on anything wrong. Because they were virgins. On the outside, they looked good. They, everyone believed in the coming of the Lord. They were ready to meet him, but some of them let their oil go out. It's all about falling away. Let the oil go out. Don't let that be your case. Keep oil in your lamp. Oil is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he says. Never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away, oh, this is really gets to my heart, this part here. When you feel your love dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to him who has the fountain of oil and buy for yourself a filling of the Holy Spirit. If you're a bit cold, you need to get out and ask God to give you a good infilling of the Holy Ghost again. Our only hope is to sincerely call upon the name of the Lord. As it says in Jude, I'm quoting Brother Jude, but it's the Holy Spirit through him. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Glory! He's able to keep us from falling. It's only him. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. So this morning, I encourage you to press into God. I can't press in for you. I've got a full-time job pressing in myself. I'd come and help you, but I cannot. There's only one, the gate into the city only could take one person. It's only one at a time can enter in. That's you. The narrow way. You've got to press to get through. If your husband doesn't come, you say, I'm going through. If your wife doesn't press in, you say, I'm going through anyway. My children, I'm going through anyway. My parents don't come, I'm going in anyway. While we have the opportunity. I will finish with this quote, which is really a blessing to me. Brother Ben made the statement. Now the Spirit, the dynamics of that promised word. The Word of God's got action to it. The Word of God's going to produce something. Who believes that? We don't just read the Bible and say, oh, that was very nice for Paul, Peter, and... No, the Word of God's going to put action here in this church. Well, we've seen God healing people. Who believe God heals? We must believe that. We've seen it. We're going to see more of it too. He says the dynamics of that word, the dynamics is the action taking place of the Word of God, produces something to get into his church and to drive them to Calvary yonder and to the rapture. And there we are. There will be a big outpouring of the Spirit, yes sir, to grab that church and to take her into the skies. I'm going. I'm going. By the grace of God, I'm going there. I know I'm going there because I feel the call of God. But all of you feel the call of God, there's something you must do. I cannot believe that's the time. But the Bible says time shall be no more. When you have the call in your heart, you need to do something. There's only one thing you can do, is answer the call. Shall we stand for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee, our heads and hearts bowed before You, Lord. Lord Jesus, these things are serious. To some it may sound harsh, but to the believer it's wonderful, because that's what they want. If we're looking for You, it can't come strong enough. I know that in my own life, Lord. I can't get it strong enough because I want it. And I know, Lord, You've given it to us. You've provided for us through the blood of Jesus. I pray, Lord, You'll bless every brother and sister here. Cause them each to get closer to Thee. Lord, the hour's running. We don't even know there will be another Sunday. It's that close. We see the world conditions around us. Lord, we know what's happening. The world's got no confidence in anybody. No security, no trust. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. And Lord, that's what we do this morning. We're trusting You to come and take us to the city in the sky. I pray, Lord, each one will be ready. Without excuse, we took the advice of Your word. We're pressing in, earnestly seeking the original gospel that was preached to the saints. May You bless us this morning. We ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless each one, I pray, Lord. Help us all to get closer to You. We ask this blessing in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Anybody like prayer this morning? Whatever meeting, whatever need, spiritual, healing, feel free to come and I'll pray for you. I believe God is here to bless. We've got to press in. We're soldiers. We're marching into the kingdom. You hear God calling you. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching. said that right. This is a verse. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, looking unto Jesus, who is gone before. Christ the
sing number 130 in the restoration book. In his presence there's fullness of joy. In his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine. Seated for a moment. You know, shouldn't say this in some ways, but just to give you an understanding, because of circumstances, I've been to churches not here in Gisborne, although it kind of applies, I would imagine, but I've counted about 5 or 6 services in denominational churches. And the people would be about 100 plus in most cases. And I would go out of the services absolutely depressed entirely. I could feel it in my heart, the depression. And I kept thinking, and I'm talking about Howard here, not because he's my younger brother, but because he's preaching what is necessary. And I thought about these people in the services that I was at. And I thought, if Howard was there preaching what you heard today, I would think at least 50% of the people in those churches would have walked out. And a lot of it is because they don't want to hear. They don't want the conviction on them. And that conviction is God calling. If they feel awkward and bad about it, because God's calling them, they don't want it. It's their choice. But what we've got was absolutely beautiful and absolutely the truth. And I stand behind every word that was spoken this morning and in most services we have in this church. We are very, very privileged. I say it with a soft heart towards the Lord and gratitude towards the Lord. I give him thanks. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you're real. Why? Because your word says so. Why? Because we believe it. Why? Because we feel your presence in our heart. And it's the Holy Spirit that's moving around and about it. It's not something that we do. It's everything that you do. We're very grateful, Lord. We ask that you would bless the luncheon that we're going to have. May be with us for the fellowship and the uplifting. And thank you for providing the food. Be with us for this afternoon's meeting. It's a communion and foot washing. Bless it to us, Lord, because that's part of what you've asked us to do as well. And we want to do it God's way. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people that listened in on the internet in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed.